speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
As we begin with our lesson this morning, I want to draw our attention to some things that we find in our world that are also kind of applicable, if you would, to the lesson as to where we are going. We live in a world today where that authority is questioned and authority is not projected in many different realms. Take into consideration in our homes. We find on television and through the internet in places that many homes are disrupted in many different ways, and we find that in a lot of homes that children are not respectful of their parents, the authority that is cast upon them by our God. How so? Children are speaking out in ways against their parents, showing disrespect whenever the parents guide them and instruct them with certain areas of their life, and the children are not appreciative of the fact that their parents love them and that their parents are offering these words of wisdom because of the love that they have for them. Yet the children see that the parents are striving to control their lives, and the child does not want any part of that, so therefore the child acts out verbally, and they act out in ways of rebellion that, according to what we find in Scripture, as well as a way in which was once present in society, we would say that those children are disrespectful. In fact, the time in which I was growing up, and many of you can also relate with this, is that if we acted in ways that we see many homes going with regard to the disrespect that children are displaying, we would have been scolded for that, we would have been grounded for that, and we would have been punished. Even we would have been whipped back in my day for acting in ways that would have been disrespectful, not recognizing the authority that our families have over us. But friends, also, we're seeing this in society, are we not? I was raised in an age, as well as many of you, where that we understood that those who served in the police force, they served as an authority in our communities and over our states, and even from a national standpoint. When we were going down the road, let's say, and maybe exceeding the speed limit, and a police officer pulled up behind us with his lights on or her lights on, immediately, I know from a personal standpoint, that fear came over me because of the fact that I understood that that officer represented an authoritative figure, and that officer was going to do what was in his or her role to do as an authoritative figure to carry out the law. And if I had violated the law, then friends, I understood that I stood guilty as well as subject to the consequences under the law. And during the times in which I had been stopped for speeding, and I might add it's been several years, but in all of that, in the times that I had been stopped for speeding, whenever the officer came to my window was down, and I addressed the officer, sir or ma'am, in a manner that they would have understood that I had respect for them. Now, they might have thought that I was doing that to get out of a ticket, and I was not. But that I had respect for them, and that I was not going to cause them any harm, and that I was going to comply with what it is that they were expecting me to do. Today, we live in an age where that it seems that it is growing in leaps and bounds, is that people do not have this respect for our police officers, those in authoritative positions in our land. How so? Because they're speaking out against them in ways that they should not speak out against them. Whenever somebody is arrested for violating the law, or whenever someone is injured by gunfire or any other way because of the fact that they were violating the law, or whenever someone is even to the point from time to time their life is taken for violating a law, we find that people are speaking out their family and their community by which they are surrounded by, speaking out against our law enforcement officers, even going to the point of rioting and causing violence in the streets and tearing up homes. And many police officers this year in 2016 and last year lost their lives because people do not respect them as the authority by which they have, and that has been bestowed upon them, first off by God, but then also by the government realms in which they serve. We are finding that people have a disrespect for authority in our homes and in our society, and it should not then surprise us that we are finding it also flowing into the world of religion. So many people do not have a respect for the authority of God and for the authority that we find with regard to the Word of God. We need to understand that God is the authoritative figure that each and every one of us must know today, that we must submit our lives to today, as well as then that we must understand will stand before Him in judgment in the day of judgment. But not only must we recognize the authority of God, we must also understand that the Bible is His inspired Word, and that the Bible then stands as the authoritative Word or standard upon which our lives must live. The Bible is the Word of God. It is inspired, literally meaning that it is God-breathed. God used holy men from old to carry out His commission to communicate or convey His message, His will, last will and testament unto mankind. And God made sure that in the deliverance of His Word is that it is profitable for mankind. In other words, whenever we read and study from the Bible, we need to first off understand is that it is much more than words of mankind, but rather it is indeed the words of God, and that God has not just spoken to mankind for the sake of speaking, but rather God had a plan in place, and this plan is profitable for each and every one of us. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and verse 17, as the Apostle Paul was writing to young Timothy, he said these words. He says, "For all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped unto every good work." We can benefit from reading and studying God's Word. But also, not only do we understand as we read and study from the Scripture that God's Word is inspired and it is profitable, God also shows us is that His Word is complete. There was not, and there is not, and there shall never be any further revelation given from God. Why? Because whenever God delivered the completeness of His message through the New Testament writers, that ended all revelation. And what God wants man to understand today, as we read and study from His Word, is that we had the completeness of everything that God wants mankind to know as it pertains to His will and our eternal salvation. As we read and study from the Bible, knowing that it is God's Word, we should not and must not be surprised then to find that it is accurate. Mankind has sought diligently to dismiss God's Word. They have found alleged contradictions. But friends, whenever man investigates the context of those alleged contradictions, they are just that. They are alleged because there is no validity to them. In fact, whenever man studies the context of what God gives us in Scripture, we find complete harmonization. We find is that God's Word is unified and that it is true all the way through and through. And whenever it comes to God's Word too, while man may strive to dismiss it, as well as while man has sought to destroy it by offering book burnings, Bible burnings that is, and other ways in which they have sought to do away with God's Word, God identifies to us is that His Word is indestructible. Now by that, they might be able to burn a Bible or to burn a pile of Bibles, but still at the same time, God identifies unto us is that heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word will endure forever. While man has and will continue to do just that, to dismiss God on every way, friends, God has always been and God will always be present. Whenever it comes to God's Word, God identifies to us is that His Word is informative. What do we learn when we study from the Bible? Well, to begin with, we learn that there is a God in heaven. Now, we live in a world today that certainly speaks out that there is a God. Why do I say that? Because we find design in the creation as well as within man himself. And therefore, we of necessity say there must be a designer, and there is, and the Bible helps us to understand who that designer is. In fact, not only that He is the designer, but friends, that He is the creator of all things. The Bible not only shows us that there is a God in heaven, but the Bible explains to us is that God is eternal in all of His existence, and also that there are three who comprise the God or Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But also we understand with regard to these individuals is that they of all pre-existed in heaven, in eternity, and that they are co-equal, co-substantial, and that they're always working for the good of mankind. But friends, also, not only do we understand is that God's Word is informative, God's Word is also instructive. What do I mean by that? The Bible identifies to us is that not only does God have a plan, but in God's plan for mankind, He expects us to know that plan, and in knowing God's plan, then He instructs us to comply with the standards under that plan. If we do not comply with the rule by which God expects us to live by, then God also instructs us that there are consequences. There may be consequences in life, meaning that as Christians, if we obey and then we fall away, there may come that point in time where the church withdraws fellowship from us. But from an ultimate standpoint, and an eternal perspective, we understand that if we violate the laws of God, then we will be sentenced to eternal condemnation in hell. It's instructive to that very end. Friends, also, I stand before you this morning and declare unto you, as I trust the majority, if not all, within the sound of my voice, maybe those who are watching us from television do not understand this, but also God's Word is powerful. How is God's Word powerful? The Apostle Paul wrote of this in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." God's Word is powerful unto salvation. How so? Because whenever God's Word is taught, not only do we understand about God, but also we learn with respect to the sin that separates us from God. Who is a sinner in the sight of God? Well, we understand whenever we are born into this world as children, we enter in a innocent state. We enter in a state where that we are safe in the sight of God. But yet at the same time, as man grows, we take upon ourselves accountability. And whenever we become accountable before God, the Bible identifies to us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, He says, "For there is none righteous, no, not one." You go over to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, God identifies for us, He says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And friends, as we read and study from the Bible, also from the context of what Paul penned to the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's powerful within itself, is it not? It's powerful in the fact that God shows us is that when we sin against Him, when we violate His law, is that it separates us from Him. And that is to have the power of conviction upon each and every one of us whenever we hear those words. But friends, also, God identifies to us is that His Word is powerful in the fact that not only is it to convict us, it is to convince us and to lead us unto conversion before our God. Whenever we hear the consequences of our sin, and whenever we come to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, with every fiber of our being, God's Word is powerful to draw us unto obedience to do what God commissions or commands us to do as His children. You see, God identifies to us as we read and study from His Word, His authoritative Word, is that it is applicable to everything that we face in life. How so? Not only is it profitable in regard to the things that we face from a spiritual standpoint, but friends, God's Word offers everything that you and I need to know as it deals with our lives here in this world. Why would I say that? Because that's exactly what Peter declares unto us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. As His divine power has revealed unto us all things pertaining to life and unto godliness. If there's anything that we are struggling with in life, go to the book. Not any book, but go to the book that God has written and find, search, study, understand the things that He says that we need to know for our lives. But not only should we come to that understanding, God's Word then shows us is that we must apply those teachings to our lives in order for us to be pleasing unto God, but also in order for our lives to be able to go forward in a positive way. James chapter 1 and verse 22 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33 factor into this. You see, God's Word is not only applicable to our lives, but it is achievable. The things that God expects us to do. He says that He not only puts the goal out there for us, but He says that He wants us to realize is that we can obtain it. It is doable. He doesn't give us a mark that cannot be reached, but rather He says that if we do what He commands us to do, then we are on our way to pleasing and glorifying God today, but also we are on our way to be able to spend eternity in heaven with God in the end. You see, God's Word is essential for every facet of life. Everything that our life consists of here in this world wraps in and around God's Word. And friends, if our lives are not wrapped in and around God's Word, then it's this unwound mess that we find in the world of which you and I live in unto this very day. Why are people's lives in such a mess? Why do we have such religious confusion as what we find with well over 2,400 different churches in the world today? It's because people disrespect the Bible. It's because people do not have a respect for God. It's because people do not embrace the authority of the Scripture for things that they do in life as well as in and through a religious avenue. Good friends, today I tell you is that the Apostle Paul understood very much so concerning the authority of the Scripture. And he spoke about the authority of the Scripture from the fact that there is a pattern given from God. In fact, the Apostle Paul commended the saints at Rome for obeying the pattern of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, he commends them to begin with by obeying the faith, meaning the system of faith. What is the system of faith? He's speaking with reference today, as you and I have it, the completed message of God. These individuals read and studied from the manuscripts that were available to them at that time. And as a result of that, they obeyed the gospel plan of salvation, the instructions of God, the commandments of God. And today, as you and I read and study from that same system of faith, we call it the Bible. We have God's completed message. And what do we learn as we read on in the context of Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through verse 17? A very significant part of that plan was obedience to Christ in baptism. These individuals at Rome had been buried with Christ in the watery grave of baptism. And they were raised to walk in newness of life. And they were also instructed to put away the old man that they might be able to live as servants in the kingdom of God. And if you go on over to Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, here's where Paul commends them again, and saying that he praises them, if you would, and that's paraphrased, for their obedience to the pattern, that form of doctrine that had been delivered unto them. But friends, also, as we read with regard to Paul's message to the saints at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul encouraged the saints to follow his example. Why would Paul want them to follow his example? Friends, let's go back to understand that Paul understood that there is a God in heaven and he respected the authority of God. But also, this man was receiving revelation from God. And as a result of him receiving revelation from God, he embraced that revelation as the authority by which God was directing him, calling him, and challenging him to live his life. And friends, what do we find when we look at the Apostle Paul's life? This man aligned his life with the will of our God. And therefore, when Paul is telling the church at Corinth and even beyond that they need to be imitators of him to follow his example, basically what he is saying to them is that you need to follow my example because of the authority by which my life is lived by. He's calling it upon them. As well as today, I want to encourage each and every one of us to take the message and apply it to us, is that he's calling upon them and us today to also bring our lives under the authority of God. To live our lives in submission to the will of God as it is defined in and throughout Scripture. But then also, what do we find with regard to those who do not accept the authority of God? What do we understand with those who walk contrary to the doctrine that it is taught in the Scripture? The Apostle Paul told the saints at Philippi, as well as at Rome, to mark and to avoid those who did not comply with the pattern of God, who lived their life contrary to the will of God, or who from a religious standpoint were doing things that were in violation of the law of God. Well, whenever Paul says that they are to mark them, what does he mean? To mark in this context is with a negative connotation. It means that you are to mark them and to understand that they are false teachers, that they are not in a true relationship with our God. That these individuals, not only are they separated from God, but if they are not marked and also avoided, is that they will have serious influence in a negative manner upon all those who will give them an ear, not only in this life, but in the days to come, whenever man will stand before God in judgment. But then also, Paul praised those who were walking in the pattern, those at Rome. And I want to draw your attention to the context and encourage you to open up your Bibles this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 13. Paul says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as the word, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." To begin with, what does Paul say? He says that whenever these men who were speaking by way of a revelation through inspiration, is that they spoke to these individuals the word of God. And those at Thessalonica, whenever they received it, they were able to see, they were able to hear with their own ears, is that this was not words of man, but rather that it was the Word of truth, which is the Word of God. And what is Paul saying? He says, not only have we declared God's Word to you, but he says you have embraced it. Why had they embraced God's Word? Friends, because they understood the authority of God. Because he understood and recognized the authority that comes through God's Word, and therefore that they needed to walk to pattern their lives according to the standards that God had commissioned them. You see, according to what the Scripture says, what areas of life must we consider? You see, God's Word is a guidance for everyday life. Jeremiah, from the days of old, understood this. The people of Israel were going and living their lives however they chose to live that. And friends, of what good was that doing them? Well, if they were comparing their lives to the nation, the heathens who were sinners, who were alienated from God, they might have seemed okay. But as Jeremiah looked to Israel, as he looked to his own life, he didn't want to be pleasing. He did not want to be like the rest of the world, but rather he wanted to be acceptable unto our God. And therefore, Jeremiah utters these words in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. "O Lord, I know it's not in man's to direct him steps. It's not in man to direct his life." Why? We understand why according to what we read in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. "For the ways of man, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death." Friends, God's Word gives us instructions for life. Every aspect of our life, He seeks to guide us as a loving parent want so much to guide his or her children in life because they want them not to repeat the mistakes that they have made. Now, God's not made mistakes, but He knows that there are mistakes out there He does not want us to make that others have made, and therefore He offers us this guidance. But then also a parent wants their child's life to be able to be lived in a peaceful manner. They want their child's life to be lived in a full, complete way. But then also God wants the same for us. He wants our lives to be lived in a peaceful manner. And friends, the greatest peace that surpasses all understanding is to have our lives in line with the will of God. And therefore, what great peace and comfort that means to our lives. And for those of us who are Christians who are doing what we can to live our lives in compliance to the will of God, we also know that our lives are full and complete, knowing that God has something grander or great prepared for us in heaven beyond this world. But friends, also, God's Word covers life in the fact that it offers instructions concerning redemption. I'm very much aware, as I trust most who are within the sound of my voice this morning here, maybe not so much in those who are watching from television, but in the religious world, there are individuals who say that we are saved by the grace of God and by grace only. Yet at the same time, they say that we are saved through faith and that all an individual needs to do is to accept Jesus Christ into their heart and utter some sort of a sinner's prayer. Friends, as we speak with reference to the authority of the Scripture today, I want to challenge each and every one who might be of that belief to turn in the Bible and to read and to study and to find the passage of Scripture that teaches that. I'm not looking for a lot of passages of Scripture. You just show me one that teaches accept Jesus into your heart and say a sinner's prayer and the ailing sinner can be saved. You search that out and show me and I'll become a believer of that doctrine. Why would I say that and challenge such? Because I am confident is that you will not find that. Why? Because I have read and continue to study the Bible to make sure that what I believe and preach is in line with what the Scripture teaches. And I have never, and I've read the Bible through a number of times and continue to study book, chapter, and verse continually, never have I found that taught directly or implied in Scripture. But what we do find in Scripture is the instructions that we are saved. We are redeemed through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. We also understand then, as we think about and understand that we are saved through Jesus, then it's through Jesus and His instructions, is it not, that we need to turn and to find what He says we must do in order to be saved. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. We cannot have a relationship with God unless we come through Jesus Christ. Well, what is it then that Jesus says we must do in order to be saved? Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus Himself says, He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. Friends, those at Pentecost, whenever the Lord's church began, understood the importance and the necessity of baptism for the forgiveness of sins. They embraced that. And the church that embraced that continued on in the apostle doctrine, teaching these things from that moment forward. It became an authoritative position of the church. Why? Because the authority from heaven is the one who commanded or commissioned it. And therefore, we need to embrace the instructions of God concerning redemption. But then also, whenever it comes to God's Word covering every facet of our life, we are able to turn to book, chapter, and verse whenever it comes to matters of worship. And that is most important, is it not? We live in a world today where that we've already said in this lesson is that there are over 2,400 different types of churches. And each one is worshiping today according to their man-made doctrines and creeds. Each one is worshiping today according to however they might see fit. But in the Lord's church, in the churches of Christ, who uphold the authority of God and who respect the authority of the Scripture. We are only striving to do things according to the will of God. I appreciated Brother Earl's prayer just a few moments ago that we might live our lives today and tomorrow in a greater way than what we have closer to God, in a greater way than what we have in the past. But then also, as we enter into this time of worship, he prayed is that the things that we say and do, that they might be done in accordance to His will. Earl, thank you for that prayer. Earl's not the only one who prays in that manner. Most of the men who stand before us pray to that very end, is that we will do things in accordance to the will of God. Why? Because we know that in accordance to the will of God is by the authority of God. Because we have book, chapter, and verse for those things. And that it is imperative, if we want to be pleasing to God, is that we are able to establish all things in the Scripture. Why? Because John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24 says, is that God is seeking man to worship Him. But friends, He's not seeking just any type of worship. But the Father is seeking those to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Anything outside of that is not what is not sought by God. Anything outside of that is not authorized by God. We must have authorization from the Scripture in order for us to do things in our worship and religiously. But friends, also, God's Word covers life because we find in it explicit and implicit teachings as it deals with all religious terms. Not just whenever it comes to our worship of God, but whenever it comes to the structure of the church, meaning that men are to lead in the worship service, meaning that only male members are able to serve as preachers in the church, meaning that only men are able to serve as elders in the eldership of the church, meaning that only men are authorized to serve as deacons in and under the oversight of an eldership, meaning also, though, that as we consider the structure of the church and ladies, is that ladies can participate in the worship service by singing, by bowing their heads with the rest of us as we offer our prayers unto God, but also that they can, by expedience, teach in our classes those who are not Christians. The Bible teaches us both explicitly as well as implicitly, and therefore the things that we read in there, we draw conclusions or we infer based out of the authority of the Scripture what would be pleasing and acceptable unto our God. You see, friends, commandments are critical, and we need to understand that these commandments come as the authority of God. And what does God expect of you and me? We are to be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. How can we be diligent to show ourselves approved to God? Certainly by living our lives according to the will of God, but also by studying His Word and making sure that the things that we believe, as well as the things that we do in life, individually and collectively together as a church, is that we are doing it by the authorization of God. But then also, do not pervert the gospel by altering its words. So many religious groups are guilty of doing this today. They twist the Scripture. Why? Because it doesn't fit the context of what it is that they believe or what it is that they want to do in worship of God. Yet at the same time, whenever a man does that, the Scripture says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 and verse 16, that they do that to their own destruction. And their worship is in vain to God. Matthew 15, verses 8 and verse 9. But friends, also, we are to contend earnestly for the faith, the system of faith, the Word of God. Well, what does the word contend mean? It means that we are to defend the Word of God. It means that we are to deliver lessons like what I am this morning. It means that earnestly, it means that we are to always be engaged in doing these things. And if we do not, friends, we will be guilty and accountable before God. But then also, it means that we show our love by doing what God commands us to do. Isn't that what Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15? If you love me, keep my commandments. Yes, in the churches of Christ, we are accused of being commandment keepers. We're accused of being legalistic. And friends, you can call me a commandment keeper all you want. But the things that we do from keeping the commandments of God, they're not done from a legalistic standpoint. Well, why do we do those things? It's because we understand the authority of God's Word. It's because we understand that God is in heaven and He is the authority one. He is the one who is sitting on the throne. And it is Him who is, it is He who is responsible for directing our lives. And it is Him that we will stand before in judgment. But then also, we understand that the Bible is His Word. And because the Bible is His Word, if He gives a commandment, and we want to please Him, we need to keep that commandment. Nothing legalistic about that. It's another L word, and that word is love, as well as respect for God. This morning, the lesson has been based upon biblical authority. And in that, this morning, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we want to extend that invitation to you before it is eternally too late. So this morning, if you're subject to that call, please come.